If you're not fired up to go fishing right now, it ain't gonna happen. It is springtime, March 2016. Welcome to another episode of Bass Edge Radio, brought to you by MegaWare KeelGuard.
What a better way to invest that tax refund that I'm sure all of Bass Edge Nation is getting back on a new MegaWare do-it-yourself installation keel protector. Choose the protection the pros pick. Visit them at KeelGuard.com.
That's right. Install those keel guards, install that flex step, put the rods in the boat, and let's go. Bass Edge Radio begins now.
You know the importance of protecting your investments, so why use anything other than the toughest keel protector for your boat? Grinding sand, abrasive rocks, and concrete ramps are no match for our patented technology. KeelGuard keel protectors are made tough and made to stick. Their do-it-yourself installation takes less than an hour, providing the most dependable, most trusted keel protection for your boat, guaranteed for life. So give your boat the performance edge. Put on the protection the pros pick. KeelGuard keel protectors.
Patented in 2000, perfected over years of testing and real-world punishment, the PowerPole is the ultimate shallow-water boat positioning tool. Swift, PowerPole deploys in seconds from anywhere in your boat. Virtually silent, PowerPole won't spook wary fish. Secure in strong current or gusting winds in up to 8 feet of water. Engineered to take it with a lifetime unconditional replacement guarantee on the spike. PowerPole. Swift. Silent. Secure. Visit PowerPole.com to find a dealer near you.
Bass Edge Radio.
Commence broadcast.
In 3, 2, 1. You're listening to The Edge. Everything bass fishing. Coming to you nationwide from the Bass Edge Studios.
Kurt, you can definitely tell from the Bass Blaster emails that are so kindly placed ever so often in my inbox, and then also just looking at some of the other fishing sites out there like BassZone.com, what time of year we are going into by the size of the fish and the story and the content that they are covering right now.
Yeah, man. Giants. Giants, you got to sign up for a Bass Blaster. You can do that by going to the new webpage that we have. If anybody hasn't seen it yet, it's been up for, 6-8 weeks minimum. BassEdge.com. There is a link through to sign up for Bass Blaster. Please do that for us. Giant freaking bass on there. I want to highlight one thing. There is a super cool video, a little big bass teaser from a Mark Zona show when he is fishing with Brent Ayler out in California for a spotted bass.
I'm sure he shows no emotion during that video.
Dude, giant spots. I mean, awesome stuff. So, dude, if you're not on the Bass Blaster, you're not getting the latest goods, latest baits, techniques, tournament recap, just fun stuff. And the cool thing about Blaster is you can be on it too, man. All you got to do is just post some pics, have fun with Kumar, and Bass Blaster is in your inbox. So cool stuff there. What's going on with you? You went skiing. You're back from skiing. And now you're going fishing. And you brought all of the snow water into Bull Shoals.
It's like, that's right. That's a pretty good way to put it. Snow melt. Yes, I returned from my annual trip, guy trip, with a bunch of my clients. Skiing at Beaver Creek there close to Vail. Had a great time. No torn meniscus. No knee brace. You know, I'm over 40 now. So I'm not quite on Geritol yet. Probably most of our audience base doesn't even know what that is. But so it's all good there. And then returned back, was able to have a little get together with our friends at MegaWare KeelGuard, Preston Shumway. And Dave was in town. They were in town for some meetings at Bass Pro doing their annual deal, and was able to actually go out and do a little fishing in town. But the coolest thing, Kurt, which you don't even know this, I haven't even got to share this with you because I've been sworn to secrecy.
All right.
They have some new products coming out, and all I will say, there are two in particular particular that are going to hit the market here very, very soon. It's currently in some final testing, but you just better hang on because it is going to take the product offering to a completely different level.
So are they looking for an iCast debut, be out before then? When can we start seeing what they're doing?
I can't say that yet because I don't know. It's not because I'm going to pull one of these conversations of, yeah, it's a prototype and I won the class. You know, it's not that kind of thing. It's more or less that right now they are making sure that they have their I's dotted and T's crossed because when it hits the market, they have to ramp up production because that is really the magnitude of what we see going on. So I will definitely keep everybody posted, and certainly Bass Edge will likely debut that offering when it does hit the market. But, you know, speaking of hitting the water, you are right. I am heading to Bull Shoals for the Central Pro Elite that's coming up here in just a few days, and it does look like I'm going to get to fish that at flood stage. So hopefully some of those old bush lines and that, maybe throwing a grub, maybe throwing a jerk bait. Who knows? You know, you just never know when you enter into conditions, as you well know, until you get there and kind of start testing the waters with what the bite's going to be. But likewise, you, I think you've got some new things going on, new boat, kind of in between events, hanging out in the 80 degree weather on Lake Amistad, just catching 8 pounders.
Yes, we are. We are living the rough life down here at Del Rio. Spring came back in late January, probably. So we're in full throttle here and got the new boat, getting things squared away, doing a lot of sponsor fishing trips right now, doing a few guide trips. And my mind is on Hartwell because that's my next FLW tour event. So looking forward to that. Not really licking any wounds from Okeechobee. I had a fun time, had a very mediocre event, but man, enjoyed fishing the lake. First time I'd ever been there, and had a lot of catching. There was a lot of fishing. There was a lot of catching, just not the right size. Anyway, we're going to actually get into that a little bit more because we've got the winner of the Okeechobee event with us today. So hang on, stay tuned. The Angler Spotlight's coming up next.
Two fishermen came together with one agenda: to construct bass boats superior in design and build with a flawless finish. With our boat's exhilarating handling and smooth ride, extreme rough water just doesn't exist. We're not just building a boat, we're building a legend. Legend Boats.
Aaron, it seems we keep going back to the Sooner State to chat with many of the top anglers in bass fishing. This veteran we have today is currently revitalizing his tour status and started off in a huge way a few weeks ago at Lake Okeechobee. Welcome, FLW Tour Angler Bradley Hallman. Thanks for being here, Brad.
Hey, guys. Glad to be on.
Brad, you've certainly accomplished a lot in your career, but nothing really bigger than your win in the 2016 FLW Tour opener on Lake Okeechobee last month.
Yeah, it was a special week. You know, I definitely didn't go down there with any intentions of winning. I just wanted to be able to go down there, and I knew that I wanted to flip and attack that lake that way just because historically it was a flipper's tournament, and it could be won winding in other ways, but I knew that at least five or six of the top 10 would be flipping. After the years that I've been on tour and traveled around the country, one of the things that I want to make sure that I don't do anymore is fish out of people's way to try to cash checks or limits. It didn't matter to me if it was a slow week flipping. That's what I was going to do because at least I knew I could come home at the end of the deal. And if I finished 90th flipping, I knew there'd still be five guys in the top 10 flipping. I just didn't find the right area. It kind of kept me in my comfort zone and allowed me to fish my style. And when I was fortunate enough to be able to get on a group of fish, is probably what allowed me to stay focused and confident and probably really understand kind of more about what was going on by staying with my strengths that way.
Well, Brad, people that have followed your career, and for those that haven't, I mean, you have become very close throughout your career in winning tour events and AAA events, but just hadn't really sealed the deal. Now, in the last 12 months, you've been able to be a deal closer. So, you know, you won at Grand Lake last year. We had an awesome tip for Bass Edge Nation that wants to go back. Brad gave us a tip last year that was super good for springtime fishing, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But what do you feel like has changed, or what's the difference, you know, deal closing now? I mean, two wins in less than 12 months. That's awesome. What do you feel like you can help us with as far as the difference?
I don't know, Kurt. You know, it's really it's a wall that has kind of come down, and it's a wall that I've definitely butted my head against quite a few times in the past where you finish second, third, fourth, fourth or fifth. And you know what people don't understand, I guess, is because, I mean, when you win, it's like, oh, you won, great. And it is great. But, you know, those tournaments that you finished second, third, or fourth, fifth, those were great tournaments too. Fishing-wise, there wasn't that big a difference as far as what came in the boat to have some of those finishes. To actually get the wall down, probably a lot of it's just my outlook, just being more relaxed in the situation from being there before. I'm sure age has some things to do with it. I'm a little older. You know, I can remember back at Grand, for example, Todd Castledine and I were staying together. He's a great friend of mine from Texas, and he was leading the first day. And he had never even seen the lake before in his entire life. And he came up there and caught like 24, 25 pounds the first day. And we were both sight fishing. And he made the comment to me that night. He was like, dude, if you don't tighten up, I'm going to run away with this thing on your lake. And it really kind of, I thought, you know what? He's right. He is. I made a decision that next morning that I would not stop on a fish unless it was a big one. It had to be over 4 pounds or better for me to even stop and fish. You know, that's part of the decision making that probably allowed me to go on to win that event. Same thing probably in Florida. You know, I know the last 2 days I didn't have a limit, but I never gave up on my big baits, big profiles, and fishing in an area that I felt like if I did get a bite, it would be a good one. And that held true throughout the event.
You know, talking about the event in Florida, Brad, it's been, as most tournament victories at that level are, they're covered every way to Sunday, right? As far as how they break it down and questions that you've answered. I guess what I would like to know in kind of a quick summary, if you can, is something that you alluded to in the opening statement was that you were really able to understand kind of what was going on and fish your strengths. Can you briefly walk us through how you were able to arrive at really what was going on and tell us what was going on down there that allowed you to kind of separate yourself from all the other people that were flipping?
Well, after 3 days of practice, and it was nothing but a flipping stick in my hand, which probably separated me some, that I devoted more time to finding fish that way. Once I found those fish, it was obvious the area that I was in that there was a lot of fish in the area, not just in the reed head that I was fishing, but also amongst the hay grass fields that were just massive that surrounded those reed heads. There was tons of fish in those. I think that I knew going in that there would be fish that had already spawned, fish that were coming to spawn. Historically on Florida, you kind of like to get both of those groups of fish in a kind of like a pinch point, you know, like a funnel where you're bringing them down and funneling them into a small area that they're moving through. And I think that those reed heads ended up being the places that those big fish were using. I think they were spawning. The majority of them were spawning out of those hay fields. But as they came and went to those hay fields, I think they used those reed heads for cover. It's tough down there because it's a natural lake. So I can't tell you honestly how those fish moved because I'm not from Florida and I do not understand completely. But there is no doubt in my mind that they were definitely using that same way they'd use a bridge at Gunnersville, coming in and out off the main river, going back into those bays to spawn. And you get a pinch point there. And that's what I mean by that. The fact that I was flipping and fishing shallow water cover that was visible, which I am very comfortable with, allowed me to understand it more in depth of what was going on, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. I got to tell a quick story to the listeners. Brad and I were actually together during the registration. We were both fishing in the South Bay area after we had discussed some of our practice and what we had planned to do in the event. And I had told Brad, I said, dude, I'm getting a lot of bites in that area too, but I'm finding a lot of fish are pretty small. And Brad says to me, well, you know, I've had a couple of good bites that felt real strong and I caught a 3-pounder or so. I said, I hope there's some good ones in there because, you know, it'd be great to catch a really nice bag. And then I see Brad at the end of the first day and I just pass him real nonchalant as we're getting our bags at the weigh-in line. And, you know, I had like 8.5, 8.75 pounds or something, just kind of the run-of-the-mill Okeechobee limit. And I say, Brad, did you get them today? And he said, yeah, I got them pretty good. And I'm like, oh, cool. So I see him back at the hotel later that night and he's weighed in 25 pounds. And I'm like, oh my God, I guess he knew where the big ones were.
I was real fortunate. You know, like I told you before the tournament started, man, myself, I knew that I had a lot of bites. I flipped, and this is kind of one of those things that goes back to fishing your strengths. I found them so late in practice that I didn't want to look at very many of them. And I had got a few bites that I felt like, I didn't know if they were 6 or 7, 8 pounders, but I knew they weren't 2 pounders. I knew that they had to probably be 3.5 to 4 pound range or bigger. I had multiple bites like that where I had flipped in there and it just felt like Sammy Sosa had cracked that weight with a bat. It just vibrates the whole rod, and then they just sit there on it. I had a feeling that they were. I didn't know until I kind of got out there the first day of the tournament. Fortunately, the weather had kind of stayed consistent and was warm and nice, and those things were ready to rock and roll first morning of the tournament. They were ready to eat.
It was an awesome victory, and man, game plan certainly came together, and the strategy, I feel, is what really set you apart. Like you said, you're really concentrating on that flipping pattern because you felt like that was going to be the way to do well, and to catch a Florida pig. Being able to do that the first 2 days really set you apart from the field to seal the deal. Let's talk a little bit about some of the reasons why you took some time away from tour competition and why you felt like this is really the time to return. You know, you had a long career, a strong career in the Bassmaster Elite Series for 6 years and had a lot of regional success prior to that. Then you decided to just kind of walk away, not necessarily walk away from fishing, but walk away from the fierce competition of fishing. So tell the listeners a little bit about that and why it was time to return. And do you think this is going to be the time for Brad to really step out and show where he could have been 5 or 6 years ago?
Well, Kurt knows this story pretty well. He and I came together in 2006 was the inaugural season of the Elite Series and also both of our rookie years. And he and I have been friends ever since we met there. The grind and just the pressure and the weight after 6 years on the Elite Series was just tremendous. The financial pressure, the emotional stress. During that time, I had the birth of pretty much all three of my children from the time that I started in 05 to actually quit my job and decided fishing is what I wanted to do. I had gone from zero children to three children in the house, and the loss of my father, I lost him in the summer of 09. It just really had a major impact on me personally and emotionally, physically, and it was really aggravating that it affected my fishing the way that it did. But 06, 07, 08, 09, I just kept climbing and climbing, and I was getting stronger and stronger and stronger as an angler as I was able to compete on the Elite Series and get more experience under my belt and travel the country. And when my father passed away in 09, it was like it just all came tumbling down. I was not able to produce the results that I had been. In tough tournaments in the past, when things would get tough, I'd just keep my head down and just keep grinding and grinding. And my outlook then was that, you know, I'll just get one bite. Give me turn on the light switch. And after 09, it was like it didn't matter how hard I worked, it wouldn't come together for me. My heart wasn't in it. I wasn't doing it for the right reasons, and I had to walk away. And looking back, it was the right decision. I've always felt like that was the right decision. And when I came home, I honestly had mixed feelings about it. I was mad at fishing and mad at the sport, probably mad at everything. But I came home, and a good friend of mine invited me to lunch and offered me a job, and we talked about it, and I actually put it off for quite a few months, and he finally called me, and I ended up taking him up on it. After I came to work, he's a fisherman. It's Jeff Miller. His son's Jared Miller. Fished on the Elite Series for 4 or 5 years. But anyway, he had asked me to fish some team events and stuff, and I was like, yeah, that sounds okay. So we went and did that. And just being on the water with a friend, the enjoyment of team tournaments, seeing a lot of guys and friends of mine here in Oklahoma that I hadn't seen in a long time that I've competed against for years, it just kind of got it all going again. It was fun. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed all of that. It was a fun time. And that just kind of progressed year by year. And it honestly took me 4 years that this has taken to kind of come back, to climb out of the rut that I was in. It wasn't anything that I've come home and practiced and fished every single day and worked harder. It didn't have anything to do with any of that. It was basically time away, time with my family, trips and vacations with them, things that I get to do with them that I had missed being on the road. And my wife just came to me a year or so ago and said, you know, I had an event done real well in, and she said, you know, I think you're ready to go back. I really was kind of taken back by it, but she was right. I mean, I was back to reading articles and reading Bass Fan and FLW's website and all the things that we do as anglers because we love the sport. The enjoyment was back, and I felt like, you know, I was doing it for the right reasons. This is just one tournament that I had. I don't know where this is headed. I know me, and I know how I am, and I can definitely finish 160th at the next event. I'll be the first to admit it. But if I do, I'm going to do it my way, and I'll finish 160th with a rod in my hand that I feel confident, whether I'm sight fishing or bed fishing or topwater fishing. But however it goes down, I will go down my way, and I look back on it there won't be any regrets. That's probably the big difference between me now and me then. You know, I love the sport. I'm passionate about it. I'm really excited to be back. I enjoy the travel. I enjoy the camaraderie, the friends, seeing people I hadn't seen forever. I'm really grateful to be traveling with Kurt Dove again. It's a good thing. You know, it's friendships that we've had for a long time and a sport that we love dearly. You know, we'd just about do anything to be able to do it. And we're very fortunate to be able to do it. And I realize that there's a lot of people out there that don't get the opportunity that we do. And 40 years old and not doing anything but getting older. So try to make the best of it.
I think that certainly, Brad, is a testament, you know, to taking a kind of a four-year sabbatical or time in the desert, whatever you want to call it. That is just amazing to be able to kind of have that vantage point and then come back in re-entry into the sport, but be so committed that you're going to do it the way that you want to do it. And I think you had touched on it earlier. We're all kind of about the same age, all in our, well, I'm a little older, I guess, than you guys, but, you know, early 40s here to where that maturity kind of adds a different level of priorities, you know, family, getting back to the passion, getting back to the grassroots of why you do what you do. And, you know, certainly you are off to a raging start and congratulations and hats off to that. I think a lot of us, even as weekend anglers that are out here doing this, can take a lot from that, is because fishing is supposed to be fun. So anyway, I found that very, very interesting. And thanks for sharing that personal story there. You know, we would be remiss not to really discuss quickly before we head into the break here. Since it is your home lake, and I know what you're thinking, you're probably cringing when I say home lake, and you know where I'm going with this, but you're certainly your home state and one of your favorite lakes where the Classic is going to be held. What are a few patterns you see unfolding the next couple of days? And then give us two anglers from outside of Oklahoma that you feel have the shot to win.
Well, with the first part, I'll give you some pretty good insight. That way, anybody that listens to it, they're all up on the up and up. It's fair to all of them. It's public knowledge. But I've done some visiting with some friends of mine that live up there, and the lake is still dirty. It hasn't cleared up to the level that they thought that it would. Elk River is clear. And historically, the first week of March, for whatever reason, on Grand Lake, it can be a place where there is only three or four limits caught out of a 200-boat field. I don't think that's what's going to happen this year just because it's been so warm. You know, this week it's supposed to be up in the 80s here in Oklahoma with 30-mile-an-hour winds on Thursday, and that really warms up water when you get those two combinations. But the water tiller is going to make a big difference, and it's going to slow down the jerkbait bite. But the jerkbait bite is still going to happen, stain or no stain. They're going to eat that jerkbait, and that is probably going to be the number one overall player. Now, it could be won a couple of different ways. They could win it with a spinnerbait. They could win it with a jerkbait. They could win it cranking, or they could win it with a jig. But it's going to be one of those four, and more than likely, it will probably be a combination of two or three of those deals. You know, once you catch a few with a jerkbait, you throw back in the same area and catch a couple with a jig. The water clarity is going to be the main player, because if they all end up crammed up there in the Elk River together, it's going to make it really tight because it's just not that big of an area. But I think that with the water temperature being as warm as it should be, it should allow the stained areas of the lake for fish to move shallower. And that's probably where you're going to see the winter come from, something that's typically not a player this time of year just because we're going to have such a warm spring. It's probably going to be more of a flatter area with the stained water down lake or mid-lake area, and they're probably going to catch some power fishing. It probably won't be dragging a jig. It'll probably be, you know, jerking a rope, a spinnerbait or a crankbait, something along those lines.
Sounds like some fun fishing right there. I know you got a lot of buddies over there in the Sooner State, but you got to pick two people from outside of Oklahoma you feel like have a shot to win.
You know, we do. I've really got some really good friends here, and I've got one in particular that he doesn't need any help, and I would never pick against him. But, you know, outside of the Sooner State, you know, someone that like an Aaron Martins that likes to jerk and understands that situation really well and really quick, Aaron Martins comes to mind, and probably Iaconelli. You know, he's had multiple good events. It wasn't just the Classic. Guy had a really good Elite Series again up there a few years back also when I was fishing the Elite Series. He really tends to do well there. He's been in different parts of the lake. He understands it. Those two guys would be the two that I would think, you know, probably have a really good shot coming from out of state.
Well, there you go. Hopefully that helps some folks set up some fantasy fishing rosters, and certainly some great insight right here just days before the Bassmaster Classic is going to begin over there at Grand Lake. So that's exciting stuff. Guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to return with more Brad Hallman, Bass Edge Radio. We'll be right back.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Sign up to become an O'Reilly O'Rewards member today and start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every $150 they spend, so if you haven't become a member yet, what are you waiting for? It's fast, easy, and free. O'Rewards, it's your road to exclusive offers only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
Bass Edge Radio returns with FLW Tour angler Brad Hallman in our Angler Spotlight that is brought to you by MegaWare KeelGuard. Be sure to protect your boat from harmful rocks and road debris. Visit them at KeelGuard.com.
Brad, there is a ton of people and anglers who's going to break their boats out of their garage as the weather becomes consistently warmer. Interested to hear a few details of your favorite spring patterns as water temp reach that 60 degree mark and the afternoons start to get warm. What are you going to be looking for to go out and catch fish when you're hitting the lake in these kind of conditions?
Primarily, I'm just starting the day off probably with a jerk bait in my hand. We like to jerk here in Oklahoma early in the year. We're obviously, as the water reaches up to 60, we'll get closer. So by midday, once the sun comes up, I'm starting to look for places that the fish are funneling back at spawning areas. Whether I'm jerking or cranking or whatever I might be doing, I'm definitely moving shallower throughout the day. 60 degrees is kind of that mark where fish actually start spawning. I mean, we've seen fish, on 58, 57 degree water spawning. So that first group of fish, a lot of times, is some of the biggest fish in the lake. So I like to be a little ahead. Sometimes you don't get many bites up there, but it could be the biggest ones in the lake. So that's probably where I'm headed.
The other thing is too, Brad, I mean, before I dive off into this next question concerning willow trees that are so prevalent in Oklahoma, I know one of the other things that you like to do is something that I like to do, which involves, docks and fishing around docks. And kind of earlier we were talking before we actually got on air, this video that was just quite honestly amazing. How does that kind of tie into what you'll be doing this time of year? Is that more of a later deal? And talk a little bit about kind of what you were doing there of casting so far behind those docks. For those who haven't seen it, maybe you could tell us where to find it.
Yeah, that video was taken last year when I won Grand Lake. It was on day 3 and it ended up being a great video. I had a great day and the guy shooting it just did a phenomenal job, Jody White for FLW. But basically what that last day was about was that was day 3 of a 3-day tournament. It was a sight fishing event. We'd kind of gone after all the low-hanging fruit day 1 and day 2 of the tournament. And what I mean by that was some of the stuff that was just out in the obvious. And so really all that was left was some of the really protected places the guys hadn't got into yet. And, from that video, some of the photos that were taken in that picture, you could really tell how much I was scratching and clawing to get in behind some of those places. And it's not good on a $60,000-$70,000 bass boat, I can promise you that. Docks have lots of cables and stuff here in Oklahoma, and they're really hard on fiberglass, but it paid off. I was able to have a few fish that hadn't been messed with yet. Even in events that aren't sight fishing, a lot of times we're casting, and that's a lot of what that skipping comes into place with jigs and things of that nature. And the pre-spawn, really focusing on walkways and behind docks, and places that everyone else is getting to, a lot of times can produce quality bites for you in a time.
Well, and I think what goes hand in hand with that, at least when I think of Oklahoma, are the willow trees. Can you discuss just briefly why the willow trees are such great bass habitat and really kind of the best approach to catching fish that are relating to them?
The willow trees in Oklahoma are probably our true love. The guys that really understand them and get into it, I mean, it is really what we love to do. It's a seasonal type deal. It seems to be springtime related. It's only when our lakes get high above normal pool. We only need a foot of water or so in them. It doesn't take a lot. Honestly, it's a little better with a foot of water than it is with 5 foot of water just because there's not so much out there. What makes them so great is the green and the soft and the horizontal. And what I mean by that is the fact when they turn so green and they have all these leaves, they produce a lot of shade in a small area and it confines them to that little shade spot, which is underneath that tree. Soft, the willow trees and the branches on them are just, they're a real soft wood. The bark on them doesn't scratch you. It flexes real easy. I think that they enjoy that part of it. And then the horizontal part is all the limbs that are laying horizontal in the water that are broken off or whatever. They produce more shade. Generally, they still are green and have lots of limbs, and then they lay horizontal. saw on the water. Those are the ones that they really relate to. Actually, we call those condos. We have willow trees, and then we have condos. And the condos are generally the ones that are the greenest and have lots of horizontal limbs and things to them. And those are the ones that really stick out to me when I'm fishing, along with the ones that sit on points and towards the outer edge of a willow tree stand, where you have a bunch of trees and you may have one isolated that sits out by itself. Those are kind of the things that we focus on, and that's what makes them good. They use them to spawn in. They use them for post-spawn. They use them to guard fry. And then in the summertime, when the water comes up, they'll even get back in on the Lake Eufaula. It's places like that, some of the muddier lakes that we have. About one summer tournament, you know, July, August, it's just hot as blazes. Those bass are up underneath those willow trees.
Man, that's good to know. Bass Edge Nation wants to be sure not to pass up willow trees. You know, you think about Oklahoma. Well, I remember growing up on Bugs Island Lake in Virginia. Plenty of willow trees over there, too. Aaron, they're all over your neck of the woods in Missouri. I know I remember a tournament that was one PAA event several years ago that was one fishing shallow, just like Brad was mentioning, the middle of the summertime on willow trees too. So great stuff. Definitely a piece of cover a savvy angler will never pass up. So make sure you check out those willow trees. Tell you what, guys, we're going to go right into the O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day listener question segment. Brad, I'm going to throw this question to you, and it comes from Adam Green. Adam asks this. I'm a pre-warning. It's a tough question, but I think you can handle it. I grew up in Kentucky, fishing mostly on Kentucky Lake. I moved to the Denver area a few years ago and have been trying to do more bass fishing. Compared to lakes out east, the lakes here have very little structure, such as points or ledges, and most of the lakes are very bathymetry. And what he's trying to say is they don't have a lot of structure areas. I've been having trouble identifying areas that might be a little different and attract fish. What should I focus on when everything looks the same? Will the fish key in on more subtle changes in the structure or cover?
The thing that I'm going to focus on a lake like that, I'm almost going to treat it like I almost did. If you truly look at some of the best bass lakes in the country, no matter which they are, they all have one thing in common. They have a lot of flat areas. And the lakes that are really steep and inclined tend to be the least productive. And I know that's what the problem is he's fighting out there in Colorado, is the lakes are, you know, straight up and straight down and they're deep. The thing that you probably, that I'm going to look for there is not pay attention to the depth. I'm paying attention to the bottom contour, and I'm going to focus on the flat areas of that lake. What you have to keep in mind is the flat may be 30 foot deep, but if it's a clear lake and it's flat, 30 foot's fine with them, but they are going to relate to even smallmouth and largemouth both are going to relate to the flattest parts of that lake. That's where they're going to spend the majority of their time, and that's probably what I'm going to focus on. And like I say, the flat could be 20 foot deep, but you know, the cover and the cover that relates upon that flat could vary from rock to stumps or trees or wood or whatever, brush piles, whatever they be. But the flat areas of the lake is what I'm going to focus on.
And Brad, you would focus on those areas with the same baits that you would in other parts of the country. That doesn't necessarily change?
Absolutely. You know, all that's going to depend on water clarity. But yeah, I'm going big first, you know, football jigs, Carolina rigs. And then from there, you know, you're obviously going to have to size down. I'm sure the drop shots and things of that nature are going to work. They may not catch the biggest fish in the lake for you, but they probably will produce more bites.
Well, that's what it's about right there. And thanks, Brad, for tackling that question. Hey, Adam, be sure to either go to BassEdge.com and click on the Claim Your Prize segment, or email us at support@BassEdge.com and let us know you heard your question answered by the 2016 FLW Okeechobee champion on the show, and we will send out that O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card.
And a reminder to Bass Edge listeners to send those questions in via our Facebook or Twitter to win your chance at the O'Reilly Auto Parts gift card. And you can also email us those questions, support@BassEdge.com.
Brad, I got to say, it certainly is a pleasure to have you back on the show, and also to really to see you back on tour again. And I hope that your success will definitely continue. Any closing thoughts for Bass Edge Nation as we kind of wind down here?
I just really appreciate you guys taking the time to have me on, and appreciate everything you guys do. I listen to your show quite often and online and enjoy it. You guys do a great job, and thanks for having me on.
It was great to have you here, Brad. Look forward to seeing you at the next FLW event late March at Lake Hartwell. We're going to whack them out there. Thanks for taking time to chat with us today. Bass Edge Radio. We'll be back after this short break.
Now you can order Bass Edge Season 3 on DVD. Own the best resource for tips and techniques in bass fishing as host Aaron Martin tackles lakes across the country with the industry's top pro anglers, including Denny Brower, Boyd Duckett, Randy Howell, and Dave Wolak. This two-disc set includes all 13 episodes. That's over 10 hours of Bass Edge, including interviews, bloopers, and highlights, all for just $19.95. Order online at BassEdge.com. And be sure to check out previously released DVDs like Bass Edge Seasons 1 and 2 and Electronics 101. Bass Edge Season 3, now on DVD at BassEdge.com.
This is Bass Elite Angler Chris Lane, and you are tuned in to Bass Edge Radio.
Certainly, always a pleasure having Brad Hallman. Man, did he bring the goods or what? Talking about mental to actual technique. I mean, he just covered it across the board, Kurt.
Yeah, great interview. Really enjoyed his story. I want to touch real quick on that doc video that we alluded to. Man, if you get a chance, Google it up. Brad Hallman, FLW, the Grand Lake event from 2015. You talk about a guy that's creative and making things happen. Brad was so far back up inside of these docks and flipping behind the walkways. His co-angler, when he's trying to net the fish, is laid out all the way across the dock. He's trying to configure how to get these fish in the boat. But dude, I'm telling you, it is so cool how creative he got to capitalize on those fish that he saw. And rather than see him and think, oh, there's no way I'm going to get those fish in the boat or whatever the situation might have been, just really persevered and made it happen, dude. And that's what it takes to win at that level. And obviously he's been able to take that momentum and roll it into it. And Aaron, what do you think about his story, man? We talk a lot about mental side of the game. I saw a lot of aspects there where the mental part is just right.
It so resonated with me, Kurt, and I'm glad you bring that up, because speaking from someone, ironically, Brad, right around that same time, you know, I lost my dad in 2006, and you know, it's crazy because that totally rocked my world. The time frame was about the same time. It really took me about 3 years to get right, and there was a lot of things that you go through of, you know, him saying being mad at the world, being mad at the sport. So that's what I took from that, is the fact of just being willing for him to break away and do really what needed to be done for him, not only as a person, but as a father, as a husband, which ultimately by investing kind of that break and that new vantage point that he took on has ultimately propelled him now to where he's going in the sport and doing it his way, the way that he wants to do it, which ultimately creates more passion and creates more love. And, you know, so very, very interesting to me and one that I can certainly relate to.
Yeah, a lot of great things from this interview and this episode. Learned a lot about springtime fishing, learned a lot about Brad Hallman, the mental aspects. Man, just another great show.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, Kurt, we got to shut her down as we have already exceeded our usual time limits. But the good thing about podcasting is we are not on a hard time, other than the fact of you texting me while we're doing this saying, dude, I got to get on the water. I got to get on the water. So anyway, hey, we want to thank you, the listener, for being part of another episode of Bass Edge. We will see you next time, March 15th, for episode number 228. For Kurt Dove, I am Aaron Martin, and the rest of the Bass Edge crew, we will see you next time. So long, everybody.
You know the importance of protecting your investments, so why use anything other than the toughest keel protector for your boat? Grinding sand, abrasive rocks, and concrete ramps are no match for our patented technology. KeelGuard keel protectors are made tough and made to stick. Their do-it-yourself installation takes less than an hour, providing the most dependable, most trusted keel protection for your boat, guaranteed for life. So give your boat the performance edge. Put on the protection the pros pick. KeelGuard keel protectors.
The Edge is presented by KeelGuard. For more information on Bass Edge or to shop at the Bass Edge online store, visit BassEdge.com. And be sure to join Kurt Dove and Aaron Martin right here on another episode of The Edge. Brought to you in part by Legend Boats, O'Reilly Auto Parts, Mercury Marine, Lowrance, Power Pole, and Rapaholic.com.